writers and poets. I'm Lee. I like poetry, and this is where I talk about it. Welcome back. For real. Welcome back to all of my OGs. Hey to my newbies, if you're new here. So, I won't even insult y'all and say it's been a while. It's been almost 2 years. Yeah. My last episode was September 7th, 2020. Yeah. I started this podcast with the intention of it being a weekly or bi-weekly project, and I've clearly failed miserably at that goal. And you know, there's always a million excuses not to put your head down and do the work, especially when you are struggling with perfectionism, such as myself. You know, because this is my baby, and I want to get it right. This is the most, you know, me thing I've ever done, probably ever. But you know, that's all the more reason to put that perfectionism aside and continue the work. It's all the more reason to make shit happen, excuse my language. So that's the plan. We're gonna make shit happen, excuse my language again. Anywho, let us not linger too much on the failures of the past. Instead, we're gonna begin anew, y'all. It's onward and upward. Upward. That should not be hard for me, but it is. Anyways, so last time you heard my voice, many moons ago, I introduced the lovely Sonia Sanchez and perhaps one of her most famous poems, Under a Soprano Sky. You should take a listen if you haven't already for a little two-year-old throwback, you know? So today, I thought we could restart this poetic space with another iconic Black woman poet. I'm gonna give you 5 seconds to guess. Did you guess? Who is one of the most iconic Black women poets and poets period of all time? I'm asking questions to a microphone versus a person is so awkward, but I'm just gonna say her name. It's Nikki Giovanni. We're gonna talk about Nikki Giovanni today, okay? So Nikki Giovanni is really that girl in poetry. She has such an impressive body of work and has won numerous very well-deserved awards and accolades. She was born in Knoxville, Tennessee, and she rose to prominence during the late 1960s and early 70s as the poetic voice for the Black Power movement, which obviously came on the heels of the Civil Rights Movement as a sort of militant response. But Nikki has written about everything under the sun, from family to romance to faith. She's certainly not a one-note poet, but that work at that time served as such an important purpose. And I also think people responded differently to poetry back then. I think people have seriously shifted, and their patience for poetry has changed pretty meaningfully. But back then, you know, people really were gravitated towards it. So she really was able to make a name for herself in that space. But like many great poets, especially in their later years, Nikki has shared her gifts in the classroom, currently teaching at Virginia Tech. In fact, she taught the Virginia Tech shooter and asked for him to be removed from her class because she described him as mean and menacing. She actually threatened to resign if he wasn't removed, which he was. I wouldn't say it was threatening to resign, though. She said basically I'd rather resign than keep him in my class, which sounds like a threat to me, but yeah, that's the kind of correct phrasing. Later, after the shooting spree, Nikki was asked to give a convocation speech at the university's memorial for those who were killed, and she ended with a poem and received a standing ovation from the attendees. It was incredibly moving. I find this story really, really fascinating. Her intuition on this young man was eerily spot on. I also am incredibly impressed by her determination to build safe spaces for her students and for herself to freely write, share work, and teach one another. There's certainly, you know, a school of thought that people, especially Black women, should just have to endure abuse, disrespect, cruelty, otherwise emotionally unsafe behavior for the sake of scholarship. There's also, you know, there's a lot of respectability politics in academia, especially for Black and brown people. I love seeing a Black woman pull her weight and make it clear, look, this is not acceptable. This will not fly. You know, put your foot down and demand certain safeties. If you're going to bare your soul in a poetic space, you need those safeties. So anyway, that's a small story to kind of give a little insight into her and her will, which I think plays a really big, you know, role in her work. But Nikki's beautiful body of work will be looked at many times on this podcast. You'll get many more stories of Nikki Giovanni, I'm sure, in the future. But for now, I thought we'd start with a poem about motherhood. Also, I am sorry. I think my neighbor likes to stomp upstairs. So if you guys hear that, I'm sorry. I thought for now we'd start with a poem about motherhood. August was kicked off by World Breastfeeding Week, which was created by the World Alliance for Breastfeeding Action as a way to educate, inform, and energize. And let me say, energize is my word. It's a very non-profit-y word. But educate and inform and energize people around the importance of breastfeeding. Breastfeeding is very controversial for a lot of different reasons. Most of them have to do with shaming women and birthing people in some way, be it for breastfeeding in public or struggling or being unable to breastfeed your child. Like everything else regarding women's body, an enormous amount of harmful rhetoric and a lack of resources make breastfeeding such a daunting task for many women and birthing people, especially Black women and birthing people, who have to deal with a medical system mired in white supremacy and white supremacist ideology that are not relics of the past, but still inform the systems we have today. So there's a lot to unpack there. And I considered finding a powerful poem about breastfeeding to read because there are a few. But then I thought, you know what? Let's actually examine a poem about motherhood from a different angle. Nikki Giovanni exists both as a daughter and a mother herself, so she's examined both of those roles in her work. One of my favorite examinations is a poem from her poetry collection, My House, which was published in 1972, 2 years after the birth of her son. It's entitled Mothers. And it goes like this. The last time I was home to see my mother, we kissed, exchanged pleasantries and unpleasantries, pulled a warm, comforting silence around us, and read separate books. I remember the first time I consciously saw her. We were living in a 3-room apartment on Burns Avenue. Mommy always sat in the dark. I don't know how I knew that, but she did. That night, I stumbled into the kitchen, maybe because I've always been a night person, or perhaps because I had wet the bed. She was sitting on a chair. The room was bathed in moonlight diffused through those thousands of panes landlords who rented to people with children were prone to put in windows. She may have been smoking, but maybe not. Her hair was 3/4 her height, which made me a strong believer in the Samson myth, and very Black. I'm sure I just hung there by the door. I remember thinking, what a beautiful lady. She was very deliberately waiting, perhaps for my father to come home from his night job, or maybe for a dream that had promised to come by. Come here, she said. I'll teach you a poem. I see the moon. The moon sees me. God bless the moon. And God bless me. I taught it to my son, who recited it for her, just to say, we must learn to bear the pleasures as we have borne the pains. All right, it's me talking again, not Nikki, and you'll be able to tell that through my lack of eloquence compared to her. But anyways, I think most people have a story about the moment or moments that their parents became full humans to them. My mother was and is a career woman, a cosmopolitan woman. I don't think there's a better word to describe her than cosmopolitan. She's fabulous. She's stylish. I knew all those things about her when I was a child, but it kind of just felt very tethered to me. I considered her career something she built to take care of me. Her clothes, she'd sweetly ask my opinion about, and it never dawned on me that she was just asking to kind of include me in her world. Instead, I genuinely felt that she needed my child eyes and guidance to be fashionable, as defined by me, who at the time had a very, very strong obsession with leopard print, which I'm sure was fun for her. Going out with friends or alone was, in my mind, to take breaks so she could come back refreshed and ready to resume her role as the hot guys in my life. Even loving my dad was a function of, you know, her love for me, tending to that relationship to ensure my stability and happiness, as opposed to being something that mattered to her before I was even a twinkle in her eye that never dawned on me. But then I saw my mother with her close friends, and I remember feeling anxious when they would come over, because I think to myself, will it get awkward when my mom and them inevitably run out of things to talk about? Because there's only so many times you can tell cute stories about me, you know, like I'm adorable, but oh my gosh, like, will they tire of talking about me? I remember feeling this need to entertain her friends as though they were solely there to be dazzled by me, and I considered myself quite dazzling, clearly. But then it would be my bedtime, and I would retire to my bedroom for the night. And instead of hearing her friends put on their coats and give their goodbyes, as I anticipated, because, you know, they were there to talk to her about me, and now I was asleep, so it's time to go. But instead, they'd laugh for hours. They'd laugh these full, unbridled laughs, hinting to me for the first time in my child mind that their worlds existed beyond me. And that was, as Nikki Giovanni frames it, a beautiful and strange discovery. So I thought to share this poem in honor of World Breastfeeding Week, because breastfeeding is so deeply and profoundly about the child. It's an act that serves really no purpose outside of the child. I mean, I'm sure a medical professional could jump in and tell me otherwise, maybe. But that's my assessment of it. You know, it's a part of your body that existed long before the child ever came to the picture. And suddenly it becomes a vessel of life for that child. And one of the first bonding opportunities between mother and child outside of that womb. You know, breastfeeding, it helps establish that kind of fallacious assumption children make that mothers exist as beings that belong exclusively to them. And in her poem, Nikki Giovanni really is a beautiful storyteller of the moment that idea is disrupted by catching your parent candidly. Similar to hearing my mother's laugh when I wasn't around. It just sounded nothing like the way she laughed at my SpongeBob episodes. That's all I'm saying. It just sounded different. It sounded a little more full. It sounded more adult. It sounded more honest. And that, like I said, was a really beautiful and strange discovery. You know, also Nikki Giovanni explores intergenerational inheritance and the performance element of that experience as intended to kind of be a reward for good parenting. You know, you taught me that, the four words of parental glory. Nikki teaches her only son the poem her mother imparted on her, marrying the difficulties of motherhood with also the joys of seeing its little moments of fruition, things that you gave that are coming back to you. It also feels especially beautiful given Nikki's career as a poet. Her mother, in a quiet moment to herself, breaks away from her world that Nikki is now just discovering, to give her daughter a gift that she then carries with her in her career and to her child. So it's just an all-around beautiful poem about the straddling between motherhood and personhood. Yeah, for your poetic prose, y'all thought I forgot. No, I did not. I did not. We're getting back to our assignments. Hello. For your poetic prose this week and next, because this is a bi-weekly situation, explore the ways in which your mother or mother figure maintained her existence beyond you. What are the things that you noticed she kept? What are the things she gave away to you? If you plan to be a parent, what are the things you hope to keep? What are the things you'll relinquish to your child? If you already are a parent, what are the things you thought you could keep but ended up having to relinquish? What are some of the surprising ways you've maintained your individualism and your personhood? I think about like how Nikki Giovanni's mother was sitting in the dark by herself, and to childlike eyes that may feel like, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? But that may have been her little break. That may have been her time to herself. That may have been a peaceful space for her to kind of revisit, you know, the silence that you had before not having young kids. So consider that. Think about that. And for a bonus poetic prose, explore the intangible heirlooms in your family. What are the things you've inherited and intend to pass down to the next generation? What are the things you're trying to leave behind? You know, there's a lot of questions to explore, and I hope you build them out into a poem. But if not, they're just good journal prompts, you know? They're just good things to write down and think about and kind of analyze through writing. But again, I'd suggest turning them to a poem. You never know. You never know what could come of it. You got a lot to think about. Should keep you busy until next time. So until next time, friends. Oh, and while this episode is clearly dedicated to my mother, who is one of two of my greatest gifts, this episode is also dedicated to my dad, the other half of my greatest gifts. Nikki Giovanni is one of his favorite poets, and he always spoke so highly of her work. So thank you, Dad, for making sure in our household, Black writers were always revered. See y'all next time. Adios. Oh, and follow, Poet Read Now, Poet_Read Now, Instagram. Fun things will be posted there. See you guys there.